Guys, thank you. Here's the children's church this morning. They're energetic this morning like I am. All right, so turn in your Bibles. I did the old switcheroo that week. The switcheroo, where you guys think, and my media team thinks I'm preaching on John chapter 6, but God kind of changes things sometimes, and we're going to turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verses 9 through 13. We've actually been going through these verses on Wednesday nights. Talk about love this morning and loving others. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. Says this, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality." Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning that we changed things up this week, that you burdened me on these verses, Lord. And Lord, I ask that you be glorified this morning And as we challenge ourselves about showing love to others and our brothers here, that we will grow in our faith with you today, and we will be challenged to live out this love that we're commanded. We love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we just got through going through this class on Romans chapter 12, and Wednesday night we're actually going to be starting a class on how to evangelize, biblical ways to do evangelism, to share the gospel easy. And as we went through these verses on Wednesday night in Romans chapter 12, there's powerful verses in here, and there's a lot of very practical things in here. And sometimes, I'll tell you guys, I do just change the direction of the sermon. I know it plays havoc with the media team and probably does you too, because you've probably been studying John chapter 6. But sometimes we do this, and I wanted to today. And what I want to talk to you today about is love. And if we're really showing love, and what does that look like if we're really showing love to one another? And I think about this a lot, and maybe that's why I decided to talk about that this week, is I really think about love a lot, and if I'm showing biblical love to you all, and you know, being the pastor here, it's not just about getting up on Sunday and speaking. That is really, it's an important part of it, but it's only a very, I hate to say a small part, because it's an extremely important part of it. But if I'm not showing love, then what does it matter? Paul says. I mean, it's all really just worthless. I mean, I have to be living it out, and I have to make sure. And part of speaking on Sunday is being honest with you guys about sin, visiting with you, getting to know you, being there for you, and serving you. Serving is a sign of true, genuine love. And I don't think that we can find any better example of that than our Lord and Savior Christ, that he showed the biblical example for love by serving. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 says this, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." That is the greatest example, I think, that we can look to in serving and showing our love is serving like Christ did. And even though he was God and was God in flesh, he served. He served. He literally, like, example, washed his disciples' feet, which if you do any digging into that, was a very, you know, in the Middle East, they consider your feet just like, ugh, like nobody wants to touch your feet. And I don't know that, I don't like touching one. I wouldn't want to touch anyone's feet either. But it just, it's sweaty and stinky if you play sports and like, oh, I don't know. But he did that. And he was showing that's like, man, I love you all. And he did that. And he would feed multitudes of people. He would feed them like we've talked about. And then he would share with them. He would teach them scripture. And he would demonstrate. And sometimes that love was rough. I mean, he was honest with them about their condition. He was honest with them about where they were in their life. And I think sometimes the conversations that we have to have with one another, I would rather somebody be honest with me then just lie to me and tell me what I want to hear. I don't think, you know, I think of the term loving someone into hell. That we're like literally not honest with them about how they're living their life. And so we just love them and they die and spend eternity in hell. And that's not real love. And other examples of this, the woman that was caught in adultery, while others wanted to stone her and condemn her, what did Jesus do? He had mercy, showed her love and compassion, and then he told her to go and stop living the life, stop sinning, go and sin no more. Every time Jesus served, he was ministering, he healed. When he preached, he was demonstrating love because he was blatantly honest with the people in their condition. And I think the greatest demonstration by far of any amount of love that he could have shown is when he went to the cross for us. There's no greater example of love in all of Scripture than that. So if I really want to learn how to love people and love you all as my brothers and sisters in Christ and love my enemies, which he commands us to do, I need to read about the life of Christ. That's why we tell people, and I tell people when they're new believers, don't start, we talked about this morning, new members course, we don't tell somebody who's a new believer to start in Revelation. We just don't do that. We tell them to start in John or in Matthew, one of the Gospels, and read the letters in red. Focus on Christ. And so that's important. If we really want to learn how to love people and have genuine concern for them, we have to learn about Christ. Galatians 5:13 says this, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." So when we have this freedom in Christ, when we come to believing faith in him, we shouldn't just use that and say, oh, I can do whatever I want now because I'm going to be in heaven one day. We should use that as an opportunity to serve, to demonstrate our love. And Paul, in this text in Romans, he starts to describe this and what this looks like. And let's go back to verse 9 in chapter 12. He says this, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good." So abhor literally means hate. Like that's the synonym for it. So he says, hate what is evil and love what is good. So hatred, that's a strong word. And we have to make sure we understand what that means. There is both a bad hatred and a good hatred. Hatred for a certain race of person or a certain religion of someone is horribly wrong. It's actually evil. We should never, there should be no discrimination based upon someone's race, color, creed, nationality. As a follower of Christ, we should never have that kind of hate. That's wrong. Or hating someone because they've committed a sin and stolen something from you. Or you hate them because what they have and you don't have. Or they've made you angry. Those are all examples of unbiblical hatred. So that's not the kind of hatred that we are to have for anything or anybody in this life. So when he says hatred, we need to find out basically what he's talking about here. And before I get to that, turn to Matthew chapter 12. Turn to Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and 35. Matthew chapter 12, 34. Let's actually start in 33. "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil." So what's in our heart normally will what comes out of our mouth. So if we walk around hating and hate and evil and jealousy and just mean things come out of our mouths, then where's the problem? It's a heart problem. It goes to our heart. And we see some of these people, unfortunately, they have just a bad attitude about everything. Like they're just grumpy and upset. And they have a bad heart. They walk around with a chip on their shoulders like all the time, ready to criticize whoever or condemn somebody. They're just always critical and just, and you just don't want to be around them. And anybody that gets in their way, they want to pick a fight with them. Those are like people that you just, you just want to avoid because they just have hate for everybody. Just that nothing makes them happy. And that's the kind of bad hate. It's not the kind of hate he's talking about in Romans chapter 12. That's bad hate. So what is he talking about? It's talking about hatred for evil that happens in this world. Evil things that happen in this world. Good examples that came to my mind. How many of you were just angry and that were angry but had good anger when 9/11 happened? I remember that morning. I was angry. I was upset, and it was righteous anger for what happened to those people. Or on a year later, in September, 11 years later, September 11th, 2012, when our government basically left Chris Stevens hung out to dry in Benghazi and let him get killed without coming to. I was angry. Those kind of injustices, did it make you angry? It should. That kind of anger is okay when evil like that happens. Or the murder of 20 kids at Sandy Hook Elementary that morning. When you think about how could something so evil go into a school and kill innocent kids. I mean, you can't watch that and not get upset and be angry. Let me take this a little bit further, though. Does it bother you? Are you angry that hundreds of thousands of kids are aborted, babies are aborted every year in our country? Because they're not convenient for the person. That's righteous anger. We should be upset by that. And this is something, guys, the church has to talk about. This isn't something that we should hide. It's something that our members should talk about. We should be talking about this throughout the week. Jeremiah 1:5, I mean, is this any more plain than this? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. He knew us before we were in the womb. It's a life that can't even be up for debate. Can't even be up for debate. You know, something else makes me angry. Kids not being taken care of. Listen, parents, it's not our responsibility to provide everything that our kids want. It's not. But it is our responsibility to make sure they're fed. And they're clean and they're clothed. I mean, my dad worked two jobs when I was a kid. We never had a lot of money. We'd get dressed up if we went to Walmart. I'm serious. But he took care of us. We were provided for. Let me say this morning, if you're a follower of Christ, that's your responsibility. Don't pass it off onto somebody else. It's your responsibility. 1 Timothy 5:8 says this, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Those are things that, brothers and sisters, we should get upset by. That's evilness, and we should get upset by that. The United States literally has the worst record as an industrialized nation in the world for child abuse. It's horrible. 5 children a day die because of child abuse. A report of child abuse is made every 10 seconds. Approximately 80% of children die from abuse are under the age of 8. Do those things make you angry? They should. That's what should motivate us to do something. That's the kind of anger he's talking about. Be angry about those evil things. Let me say, Luke 17:2 says it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and were cast into the sea than he should if he causes one of these little ones to sin. Jesus says it would be better if you tie a millstone around your neck and jump in the ocean than to harm one of these little kids. We should be angry and upset by stuff like that. So love, it has to be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. If we love what is good, and Christ is good and his word is good, if we love what is good, we'll also hate the evil that is in our world and that we witness to what is in our world. If I hate evil enough, listen, this is how it gets practical. If I hate evil enough, I'm going to want to do something about it. I'm not just going to say abortion is horrible and I don't condemn it and I don't support it. I'm just not going to say that. I'm going to do something about it. I'm not going to say, well, I don't agree with abortion. I hate abortion, but then I'm going to donate $100 to Claire McCaskill's campaign. Let me tell you her record this morning. She voted no on restricting UN funding for population control policies like China has. She voted no on prohibiting minors crossing state lines for abortion. She voted no on barring HHS grants to organizations that perform abortions. We should be angry about that and not support those kind of people. Now, this isn't a party thing, because I'm just as fed up with Republicans that say they're pro-life and don't do anything about it. Here's the thing. You think I'm getting political this morning? I guess I am, because I think as a church we need to be. And we should be standing for what's right outside of here. We should hate evil. And when we see evil, we should call it like it is. We shouldn't support it. If we really love, if we really have love, that's what he's saying. Go back to Romans. Go back to Romans. Romans chapter 12. Go back there. Go back to verse 9. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Be genuine. If you really love Christ, if you're really a follower of his, don't go along with evil because it may benefit your pocket somehow in the back, in the return. Hate what is evil and stand up for what is right. We have to do that. Now he transitions. He goes into verse 10. I want to go into verse 10. Love one, and hey, if they post this sermon on the internet and the IRS shows up at our door and says we're pulling your funding, it's okay. All right, that's okay. If they say you're no longer tax exempt because of what he said, I'm good with that. Let me say that. Verse 10, honoring others. Because this, guys, it's stuff we have to talk about. I'm just saying, it just is. Verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Let me ask you, have you honored anybody lately? Have you honored anyone above you? Do you go out of your way to tell people that you appreciate them? We're talking about brothers and sisters here. Like, I think a lot of times it's so easy to complain when somebody doesn't do something the way you think they should do it. And I think a lot of times we should forget about the complaining and we should honor them for what they do do. Like, I think if they're doing 90% really, really good, what we like to do is focus on the 10% that they're not. And I'm guilty of this. I am guilty of this. So this morning, I'm going to do a little bit of honoring. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Good elders are hard to find. They are. Elders who will work and teach and serve, and when a church has them, we need to honor them. I told our elders this morning I'm bringing them up individually during the service, but I didn't tell them why. So they've been stewing on this all morning because I just like to aggravate, amen? So let me start with Alan Greenfield. Come on up here, Alan Greenfield. I want to introduce you to our elders this morning. I'm going to honor them this morning individually. This guy, man, he puts up a lot from me. I look up to him so much. He is our evangelistic elder by far, is concerned with people's salvation, wants to share the gospel. This guy will show anybody love at any time, no matter their standing in society, no matter anything else. This guy will love people. And I appreciate him so much. We don't always agree, but you know what we always do? We always love one another and hug it out, and we'll have some tough conversations, don't we? And we always come back and say, you know what, we love one another. Yeah. But we always love one another, and I appreciate him, and I want to honor you this morning, so thank you, sir. Well,
thank you.
You bet.
This guy right here was God sent to Crossbridge. I believe that with all my heart. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Brother. Max Hartman. Come on up here, Max Hartman. This guy is, I'll tell you, when we're having meetings, Max will sit over and he will just sit and he'll just do this and he'll think. And then when Max speaks, everyone is quiet and we listen. He is extremely wise. I look up to him as a father figure. When I have tough situations, I will call Max Hartman and say, man, what do you think on this? Give me some advice. And 99.9% of the time, I will listen to what he says. And I'm so thankful for him. He also has a heart of serving others. He lives that out in his life. He loves people. This guy would give you the shirt off his back. I mean, he literally would. Thank you, Max Hartman.
I'll echo Alan's comments. We are blessed. And I'll honor you as well.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Ian Letterman, come on up here. This is my little buddy, and he gets my worst. When I'm having a bad day, there's a guy that I can call, and I will lay it on him. And you know what? He never says a word. He just listens, and he's quiet, and then he'll give me good advice. He prays for me. I also, like the other ones, don't always agree with them, and we can go round and round and round, and my wife will say, I do not see how you're friends with Ian Letterman the way you guys talk to one another. But I love him, and he has a heart that he cares about you all. If you don't know, he does. He cares about you where you're at in your life. He wants to help you in any way that he can. He is very talented with administrative abilities, new members class, and he's more talented by listening to me holler at him. And I appreciate him, and I love him. Okay.
I just want to say that in terms of a friend in my life, I've got friends that I've had for 25, 30 years, been with me for a long time, and Jeff and I have only been close for about three of those, and without a doubt, he's the best and most godly friend I've ever had. You all are all very blessed to have him here as well, and you know that. I'm just thankful for the unity that we have as elders.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. This guy works himself to the bone to teach our kids, learning and being able to teach our kids, putting time into worship. He is, once again, a guy that I don't always agree with, and we can have it out and then hug it out, right? But he is a servant, and he loves you all, and he loves our youth, and he wants them to be able to defend the faith. He loves our kids, and he loves this church, and it shows by his actions. And I am so honored to have this guy as my friend and my brother in Christ and as a fellow servant and elder. You don't have to say anything. Okay.
No, I do appreciate that, Jeff. And as a fellow elder, I do appreciate you. As a body of elders goes, we have to be able to respect each other, and you've always led well, and you've always been a part of this as elders for us to be able to speak and share our mind, and hey, that's what it's supposed to be. I mean, that's the only way it can move forward at all. So,
anyway. Love you, brother. Thank you. Our newest guy, come on up here. Our newest guy, last one, and then we'll get on with the message. But I wanted to do this morning because it's important, guys. It's important that we show honor not only to the leaders of the church, but one another, and appreciate one another. This guy came along when, I want to tell you, I was drowning, I mean, with a workload here. And he has been such a godsend to me personally in what he's done in helping do visits and helping me teach. He is brutally honest with me, too. I can call him, and I know that I'm going to get an honest opinion, not just something that I want to hear. And I appreciate that about him. Our friendship is a new one. Obviously, he's only been here a short time, but I appreciate Josh and so much and what he means to this church, and I love you, man, and I'm proud of you, and I can't wait to see what God does with you in ministry, so you bet.
And I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity. When I moved out here, somebody went, I was looking for a good church, and somebody went, that young guy, Jeff, over at Crossroads, he seems to be doing okay. Okay.
He said go young. Check it out. Notice that. He said young.
Yeah. And I just want to thank you so much for all you've taught me and given me the chance to flex the wings that God has called me to, and so to speak. So I appreciate all you've let me learn and do.
Thank you, brother. You notice how big he is. If you pick on one pastor, I got him, you know. So, hey, guys, I wanted to do that this morning because we're supposed to honor one another. We're supposed to love one another. Here's the charge for you, Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not groaning, for that would be no advantage to you. These men will stand before God one day and give an account for how they lead this body, for what they've taught you. So honor them with that responsibility and help them. And honor each other. Honor each other in this body. All right, go down to verses 11 and 12. This is something that's going to be very practical for you today in Romans chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. It says, "Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope and patience, tribulation, be constant in prayer." I want to focus more on verse 11, when it says have zeal in service. That means to be excited, like to be enthusiastic about getting to serve. Be enthusiastic. So have zeal in service. In nothing else, we show God that we love Him and the church by being excited for living a Christian life and serving Him by our service. Literally, turn to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So you get what they're saying there? You get what they're saying? Whatever we can do to serve, whether that's teaching, preaching, waiting on tables, cooking, washing dishes, then we need to do it the best that we can. We need to be excited about it, have an enthusiasm that we get to do it, that whatever we do for Christ, whatever we do, we're doing for Christ and His kingdom. That should make us excited to serve. I mean, we've seen people at work that some are just slothful and they're just not excited about it. And maybe they'll get the job done, but they're just not excited about it at all. And then you got some others that are like, "Man, I'm excited about what I get to do today. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited," right? And motivation, it's a huge thing. That's what's the difference there? Colossians 3:23. "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not men." Here's the deal. When we are serving, we need to stop looking at it like we're serving man, and we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we really realize that when we have an opportunity to serve, and we're serving each other, that we are serving Him? It's all about serving Him. It's kind of like this, and I told my kids I told them late last night I was going to use them as an example. If I ask my kids to do something, and I can use anybody as a church as an example, to be honest with you. If I ask my kids to do something, the trash needs to get taken out. Would you go take out the trash? And they're dragging their leg. My leg's broke. I can't do it, right? It's Dad asking me to take out the trash. The preacher calls you and says, or the elder calls you, or a deacon calls you and says, "Hey, can you do this?" "Oh, I really don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to go to the boys' ranch today," right? But if the Lord Jesus Christ asked you to do it, what would be your attitude? You're there. I mean, if Jesus was standing here right now and said, "This afternoon at 2 o'clock, you all get to go serve a bunch of impoverished, poor kids, poor boys that have went through a mess in their life, and you have an opportunity to serve them, come with me and serve today," everybody here would clear their calendar to be there. Clear it. We'd be there. I'm just being honest. Now here's the thing. Oh man, golly, I had something planned today. Fine. I'm not telling everybody has to show up today. That's not what I'm saying, all right? I don't go to every single thing. What I am saying is when we do serve, serve like you're serving Jesus Himself. Be excited and have passion about that. Be excited by that. What does our service look like when we are serving? Am I more worried about looking to the left and the right, about who's not here or who didn't do what? Or am I more excited about I have the opportunity to serve? I shouldn't be looking at something going, well, I came to serve the brats this afternoon and eat the brats, and Jimmy wasn't there. Can you believe that, Jimmy? I'm picking on Jimmy. I'm not worried about that. You know what I'm worried about? That I get to go and serve and eat some brats for Jesus. The eating part's going to be good. I'm telling you guys, you got to come for the brats. No. Seriously, that should be what I look at. So just as an example, today at the Boys Ranch, you have a chance to serve. You have a chance to interact with some young men that need Christ, that need a friend. We have an opportunity. Every Saturday night, we have an opportunity to serve. There's opportunities to serve all over. But are we excited about them? You have an opportunity to serve next Saturday morning at 8 a.m. We have a church work day. Or we can have a bad attitude and complain about everything and walk around sullen and displeased and complain and gripe because this didn't happen or that didn't happen. And I'll tell you what, I don't even want to be around people like that. I would rather have somebody who never says anything but is excited about what they're doing than have somebody that just all the time. Literally, like they're just, you just don't want to be around them. And that's the truth. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us." So when we are serving the Lord, it is the power of the Holy Spirit that is working in us and is giving us the strength to serve. And it should be, we should be, our attitude should be that we are serving the King of Kings. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, 12 and 13. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." When God is at work in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will serve. We will be quick to serve and serve as well as possible and go beyond what is asked of us or expected of us. If we walk around defeated, "Oh, hey, I hate this. I mean, I don't even know why I'm here. Why'd you come today?" You probably don't have the Holy Spirit in you. And if you do, you need a revival. A revival would have your name written next to it. Because we should be excited about getting to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because of what he did for us. And we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Now lastly here, in verse 13, go back to Romans. Verse 13. "Contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality," sharing with others, sharing with others. Remember, this sermon's about love, right? Showing real love, being excited about serving Jesus is showing love. Also, sharing with others is about showing real love. Do I use my financial resources to help my brothers and sisters in Christ? Do I use what God has given me and put in my care to help my brothers and sisters in Christ? Now, when it comes to people's money or our money, that's something that we start talking about. It kind of gets really close to our heart. Let me say it shouldn't. Matthew 6, 19 through 21 says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Some people treasure their treasures way too much. And their own personal treasures around here. And they hoard it, they save it. Ugh. You know, a guy on, 104.1, sometimes I hear him. They have these gold commercials. You see them on TV sometimes. Like, encourage people, buy gold because money's going to put it in a safe and treasure it, right? You got to have security there. And most of the world's gold is sitting in a safe somewhere, not doing any good. You know what the point is? We're not going to take anything with us. We're not going to take none of it to heaven. So why not use it here on earth to further the kingdom? Each of us sitting here today has opportunities to help our brothers and sisters, and that is a way of showing love. Let me take it a step further. Even to strangers. This week, every once in a while I do it, and I'm not telling you this because I'm trying to pump myself up. I'm not. But this week, and I should do it a lot more. I bought the person's food for me behind me at McDonald's. Do that sometime. You know what I do? What me and Hunter did? I pulled out one of my church cards, and I wrote two verses on the back of it. And I paid for the person's meal in the drive-thru. I didn't eat, by the way. I'm abstaining from McDonald's. I got Hunter a Happy Meal, just so you know. So nobody come up to me after and say, you shouldn't eat at McDonald's. I wrote two verses on there. One, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You know the second verse I wrote? My personal favorite, Mark 8:36. For what does it profit a man if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? In those two simple verses, if they look it up, you know what I just did with them? Shared the gospel in a very, very small, small way. But they may take that card and go, Crossbridge Baptist Church, what is up with that? And go to the website. Guys, we need to be proactive, and there's small ways of doing that. Talk to your waitress when you're out to eat. Tip her an extra 20%. Mow your neighbor's yard. Pray with him. Bake them an apple pie, then share the gospel with them. You know, there's all sorts of ways to do this. If we're truly showing love to people, you know what it's always going to include? It's not just going to be about handing out a flyer or me buying their meal. If I'd have bought their meal, great, I did something nice for them. What does it always have to include? Don't forget the gospel. Loving others and sharing with others should always include the gospel. We should always be pointing people to the cross of Christ. 1 Peter 4:7-10, the last verse. 1 Peter 4:7-10. 1 Peter 4:7-10. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to each other without grumbling. Highlight that. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. We have gifts. We can use those gifts to help one another and to always point people to Christ. Loving someone is speaking the truth to them. You notice every single guy that I brought up here to honor, you know what they all have in common? They're never going to tell me what I want to hear. They're always going to tell me the truth. They're going to be honest with me. We have to be honest with one another, and we have to be honest with them out there. And that goes to the core of every single point in this sermon. Being honest and telling it like it is. If God has given you money, be quick to share it. God is a greater giver. If he's given you whatever gift, be quick to share your gift. It's a matter of loving and reaching. Here's the review. The first one, love by hating evil. Get upset about the evil in this world. Don't condone it. Don't be okay with it. Fight the evil. Don't support it. Don't even acknowledge that it's anything about it is good. If Scripture says it's evil, fight it. Don't support it. Don't talk out both sides of our mouth. There's no way I could ever say that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and then support some of the things that people support. Murder. Sanctity of life and marriage. I can't do it. And we can't do it. Show love by honoring each other. Honor the people in your life that support you and are there for you. You know, there's so many people. The first person that I probably should have honored today, besides the knuckleheads I brought up, is my wife. Because I appreciate her and she does so much for me. Honor the people in your life that are there for you and love them. Show love by showing zeal, by being excited. Show your love for God by being excited about getting to serve Him. Do you need an attitude check? That's a question that I want you to think about right now. Do you need an attitude check? Are we serving man or are we serving God? Are you excited about the opportunities to serve Him? Or am I just going through the motions? I think about that a lot. I really do. Just being honest with you this morning. Am I just going through the motions of doing this? Or am I really excited about getting to share the gospel? Am I really excited about being here? I'll be honest with you. There's some days that I'm like, oh, man. I have to go deal with a million problems, I guarantee it. And I want to stay in bed. And I need an attitude check too. If you need an attitude check this morning, get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me of that. I want to serve you like I want to serve you like I'm serving you and not man and not anybody else. And finally, I need to share with others my physical needs, meet their physical needs and their spiritual. I need to share with them the gospel of Christ. I need to point them to who Jesus is. We have to be doing that. We have to be doing that. I'm going to ask that our team comes. We're going to have an invitation this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand. If you're here this morning and maybe one of these points is like, man, I need to repent of what I've been doing. You can come this morning and get down on your knees. If you want me to pray with you, I'll be more than happy to pray with you. If you need to get busy serving the kingdom, part of that is plugging into a local body of believers where you can serve with one another. Like-minded believers, brothers in Christ that hold each other accountable. You know, part of one thing we all have in common that everybody I brought up here this morning, you know what they all are? They're members of Crossbridge Baptist Church. They're my brothers in Christ. I know where we stand with one another. We love one another. We're there for one another. And we're honest with one another. If you need to make that commitment, come today. If you're here this morning and you're lost, I know I'm preaching to my brothers and sisters in Christ, but I've talked about Jesus and what he's done on the cross. You have to have believing faith. Repent of your sins. Put your faith and trust in what Christ did. Acknowledge you're a sinner. If you need to do that, if you want to talk about that, we can talk about that. If you need to come, let's pray and we'll have an invitation. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for your word. Lord, I do thank you for burdening me to switch up this week and to talk about this. It's stuff that I needed to hear, and I needed an attitude check myself on whether I'm really loving and excited about serving you or if I'm just going through the motions. So I thank you for that this week and that I was able to share that this morning. Lord, we love you. We want you to be glorified in everything that we do. I want to ask a special prayer today for those young men that we're going to be seeing this afternoon, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, if there's those boys, if there's any of them there that are lost, that your Holy Spirit will work this afternoon through Mike's teaching and preaching of the gospel, and that they will repent. And Lord, I want to ask you that you soften the hearts of any of the administrators there that are possibly having second thoughts about letting us do Bible study with them on more of a weekly basis, that you will soften their hearts and that you will prevail today. We want your will to be done. And as brothers and sisters that show up today, let us have a good time fellowshipping with one another. Thank you for giving us the means to feed each other and provide the food. And Lord, let us be safe. We love you. We want to give you all the praise and glory and honor in everything that we do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Consider all thy words thy hand hath made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior. Take it in. that on a cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! When Christ shall come with shouts of and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my
thank you for coming today. We're leaving here at 1 o'clock this afternoon. We have a meeting once again for the freeway move and the Save Our County event in Elkland that we're going to plan for right after the morning service. Sam, come on up here. One of our deacons. I'm gonna do this every week. I gave Sam a warning. I don't know why. I was just being nice this morning. Let me say this before I talk about Sam. Guys, when we're sharing the word, it's not about how good we do. It has nothing to do with us. Our only responsibility is to share the word, to share with others, do the best we can like we're serving Jesus, and let him handle it. So when they turn their back and they walk out and they deny you, don't worry about that. Don't worry about it. They're not rejecting you. It's nothing personal. We do the best we can. We reach who we can. And just leave it at that, okay? So share with somebody this week. Sam is one of our deacons. He's in charge of security. He does a lot around here. He's a guy that I can call, or Kathy will call me, and then I'll say, have Sam do that. He's one of our deacons that I will call, and he does a lot. I mean, I can ask him to do something, and he will go and do it. And it's never a question. He doesn't say, why do I have to do that? I'll just say, Sam, can we get this done? And he'll do it. So I really appreciate this guy. I'm so getting him out of his comfort zone this morning, and I love it. Read the benediction right there at the bottom, buddy. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13.
And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love.
Love somebody and share with them. Love somebody and share with them and honor somebody. Let's close in prayer. Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for today, that we could leave, we could come here today and serve you, and that your name could be glorified. And Lord, we have so many service opportunities. Let us serve like we are serving you. We are serving you and not men. And let us be excited and have zeal about that. Let us share the gospel, Lord, and let us just, let's put the word out there. Let's love people by word and action and deed. And let us not worry about the results. Let's just focus on serving you. Lord, we love you. We want you to get all the praise and glory and honor in everything that we do. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. About 10 minutes, we'll start the meeting.